Sam Payne on ABC Local Radio.
Yes, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the news. Sam Payne here with you for the next couple of hours. This hour, though, we're going to be talking comedy albums and, well, in my opinion, the lost art of comedy albums, but I should just quickly introduce the man who's going to help me navigate through the world of comedy albums and introduce comedy icon, Tony Martin.
Thanks, Sam. Where's my fake applause? Surely at this point there would be fake applause.
Wrong frequency, wrong show, but we will be going to a secret sound a little bit later on in the show. Thanks so much for coming in, Tony, on your holidays.
No, it's great to be here, and I was listening on the way in, and how overjoyed was that bloke to win the quiz, and he was basically just guessing all the answers.
Yeah.
Six and out? Yes.
He guessed the last three, and really, actually, what I've learned, because I've done three quizzes now.
Right.
And there's often a brain trust involved, or the partner of the person answering the quiz. There's a couple of blokes in particular that have gone very hard on the celebration.
Right.
After they've got a correct answer.
Yes.
But quite in a, you know, I think one said sucked in.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to go well after the quiz is over. You've still got the rest of your life to lead.
That bloke said, I think he said the word ruddy. Which I hadn't heard for years.
No.
And then he apologised.
Yeah, well.
Oh, sorry to say the word ruddy on the ABC, mate.
I've never even said the word ruddy in my life until now. Now, Tone, you are with me for the next hour and we are talking comedy albums.
Yeah, okay. I've brought a few in. I've brought a few vinyl albums. I know we can't play them.
No.
But I thought we could do some theatre of the mind and just describe them to people.
Well.
And take them back to an era when, you know, people would have a vinyl comedy album and that would be an evening's entertainment. Let's go home and listen to a record.
And these are days that I miss. Mm. Well, I think I miss them, but I miss them as well.
There are still a lot of comedy albums coming out.
Well, this is what we'll talk about. But if you might have an old comedy album in the collection that you'd like to share with us, 1-300-800-222, anytime in the next hour, we'd love you to call and maybe point us in the direction of some comedy gold from years gone past.
Yes.
We're setting the timer and seeing how long it is before someone does ring up with their favourite Victor Borg album. But you just ring us anytime, 1300-800-222. I'm here with Tony Martin. We're going to be talking about the lost art of comedy albums. But first, here's a track from Madeline Peru and Careless Love.
Summer with Sam Payne on ABC Local Radio.
Yes, welcome back. You are here with Summers with Sam Payne, but I'm actually joined. What? What have you got to say over there?
I'm slightly off mic. Pardon me.
Yeah.
That was great. Who does that? Is he just standing in the booth? Who am I doing today?
No.
Sam Payne. What's he from?
Yeah.
You're listening to Summers with Sam Payne.
See, why don't I just get you to come in and do it live? But you've got to stay here for the whole 3 hours.
Have you seen that clip that's going around on the internet? The homeless bloke sort of dressed in rags on the side of a road with a cardboard sign.
Saying Summers with Sam Payne.
And he's got like a radio announcer's voice. It's been all over the... It's today's meme or whatever you say, however you pronounce that.
Tell everyone exactly what to type into YouTube.
Homeless man, radio announcer's voice.
Right.
And it's great. It's just this guy, a tramp, on the side of the road, and he's begging for money and food, but he's talking like, yes, that's great.
I also thought it would be a good idea to actually have a chat about things that you've typed into YouTube.
Yes.
For instance, homeless man, radio announcer. That's a weird one.
That's dangerous.
But it sounds like it's gold.
It's a dangerous phone-in topic.
Yes, it is.
We're talking about comedy albums.
We are. And what I argue, Tony Martin, is the lost art of comedy albums. And what I'll set my scene in terms of where I'm coming from, in terms of not necessarily me, but parents and grandparents would just be first introduced. The only way they could hear Bill Cosby, for instance, was when he released an album.
Yep.
Now, of course, there is. They're on tonight shows. They've got DVDs. They're everywhere. But that lost art of, and that image of the family around the record player listening to Bill Cosby, I think that's what I argue is lost.
Well, that was the obviously there'd be people from New Zealand listening to this show. I'd like to think there is.
Yep.
If they grew up in the 70s, okay, they would know this album, the first one, I'm Reaching Into the Bag. Don't know if we're on a webcam, but you might be able to imagine Fred Dagg's greatest hits.
This is from your collection of albums that you've brought in.
This was until, I think even after Michael Jackson's Thriller came out, this was still the biggest selling album in New Zealand history. Every house had a copy of Fred Dagg's Greatest Hits. Thing I should point out is it was his first album. So it came out with with the greatest hits. It was a fairly ambitious title, but that's a classic album. But that was one where you would go around when it came out. I can remember the week it came out.
And you went out and you rushed out and buy it?
We heard someone in our street, the Hemis, had a copy of it. And it was like booking to see a movie. Everyone went round
and listened to Fred Dagg's Greatest Hits.
Someone pressed a button and there was like a lot of whirring and clunking as the mechanism in the 3-in-1, the Pi 3-in-1.
Is that your first one that you ever bought?
I reckon that's first. Close. It's the first one we had in our house that I can remember in our house. Certainly, that was a family.
So, and just while
heirloom.
We've got Fred Dagg on our minds, we might just go to Wayne from Sale. Wayne, are you there? Hello, Wayne.
The very old one I was talking about.
Is that the one you were calling in with?
It certainly was.
And did you rush out and get it the first week it was released?
Not long after. I remember seeing him on TV as a young fella, and now he's an honorary Australian, alias John Clark.
That's right.
And he's still continuing with his comedian comedy stuff, and it's still good.
And what was the track that everyone used to do was called The Phone Call.
G'day, Trev. Yeah.
That's the one. And I think there's some, doesn't he sing? Because, see, the problem is I don't have a record player in my house. So I have all these albums and all I can do is look at them. So I haven't heard this album for years, but is this the one where he's singing Christmas carols to sheep?
We three men of Orient are, one on a tractor, two in a car.
That's right.
One on a scooter, two in a scooter, following you on the star.
That's right.
Star of wonder, star of bright, star of beauty, she'll be right, star of glory. That's the story, following you on the star.
That's the one.
Wayne.
That would be the one.
When was the last time you listened to it, Wayne?
Oh, years ago.
Wow.
Years
That's
ago.
Even more impressive.
Still stuck in my memory as one of the classics, definitely.
When did you last put on a comedy album in your house?
I quite often put on a bit of Monty Python.
Oh, yes, beautifully produced. They were amazingly innovative in their day, the
Python
albums. Yeah.
Definitely.
So while we... thank you very much, Wayne. Thanks for calling.
Hey,
you're
Wayne.
Welcome. Yes.
Wayne, can I just ask, did you have the Monty Python album that had two concurrent side twos?
Oh,
do you remember that one? I think it was called The Matching Tie and Handkerchief. And it had... it's very hard to explain on radio, but it had two... it had concurrent grooves. So you could drop the needle and there were two side twos. Like it was just a random choice as to which one you landed on.
Amazing. No, I didn't have that one, no.
It's a collector's item.
There you go. Thank you, Wayne.
Okay, thank you very much.
See, you can't do that on the CD.
No, you can't. Then, you know, Wayne, you bring up Monty Python. See, Monty Python's for me was, I associate with the movies and television.
Yeah.
But obviously before...
Well, no, but while the TV show was on,
they released albums.
They did an album, I think just called Monty Python's Flying Circus, which came out on the BBC label.
Right.
And it was, I don't think it was the soundtrack of the TV show, but it had laughs. I think they just redid the sketches in front of an audience. And then after that, from the album called Another Monty Python Album, which was, I don't know if you remember the cover, it was a Beethoven album with just a felt pen X through it handwritten Another Monty Python Album. They were completely produced in the studio and using stereo, and it was like, they were like Beatles albums.
Now, before we get to another call,
yes.
can you reach in again, Tone, and
pull
into your bag and see what else you can pull out? Because, do you notice that I've brought in CDs?
Yeah, wow. And I can see the name Don Rickles leaping out at me.
Well, yeah, we'll get to Rickles later.
You love Don Rickles.
Oh, well, how could you not?
But see what I saw last night, by complete coincidence, an episode of SCTV, the Canadian comedy show from the late 70s, early 80s, with Rick Moranis doing a really good...
Don Rickles?
Doing a good Rickles, yeah.
Jim Carrey does a very good Don Rickles.
You've just got to bark the word, dummy! a lot.
That's good. And but Don Rickles, yeah, he is one of my favourites. He's got a couple of albums out. One is called Hello Dummy.
Yeah, of course.
Which was first released in 1968, and which was recorded live at the Hotel Sahara in Vegas.
Yeah.
And then a little bit later on, he just produced this one called Don Rickles Speaks.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually quite... And you can describe the cover there.
Well, he's got the familiar Rickles comb over, beautifully lit.
Yeah. I remember the day that he went just with the classical horseshoe pattern and got rid of the comb over. But that Don Rickles Speaks is my favourite album second favourite album after Hello Dummy, because it's just him sitting at a chair and about 8 or 9 people are asking him questions. So it's basically an interview, but it's released as a comedy album.
There's a documentary about Don Rickles, which I had to order from overseas. I don't think it's come out here, called Mr. Warmth.
Oh, it's out.
You forgot that?
Yeah.
It's out here.
Directed by John Landis.
Good to see his name on a film again.
Who did The Blues Brothers.
Yeah. And
Coming to America.
Spies Like Us, sadly.
Oh, finally, Spies Like Us has got a mention on this show. Tone, reach into the basket.
Am I meant to do that, or am I meant to now set up the clip we're going
to
play?
No. Let's go to the basket.
Okay, to the basket.
Okay. Mister, you're on radio, by the way.
When I was a kid, a lot of people had the Woody Allen double album called Stand Up Comic.
Yep.
And you would always read in fine print on the back that it was compiled from the 3 original Woody Allen albums.
Right.
I always went, so hang on, so there was 3 albums and they've squished it down to 2, and that's the one to this day, the only Woody Allen you can get is always called Woody Allen Stand Up.
And is it in 4 parts?
Well, yes it is.
Yes.
But it's compressed down from 3 albums, so I made it my life's mission to try and get the 3 original Woody Allen albums on vinyl, and I found them all in second-hand shops in New Zealand, where it's not quite the fished-out waters as it is here in Melbourne, where vinyl junkies and nerds have pretty much got all the good stuff by now.
Over there, there's still giant fish available.
There are. And so here they are. I'm going to hold them up, and I'll get you to describe each of them as I hold them up. These are the original 3 Woody Allen. So there's the first one.
Which is just a close-up of a young Woody Allen in black and white, looking quite serious, as comedy is.
And the album is simply called
Woody Allen.
There you go. Here's the second one. Have a look at that. Describe that.
That is a close-up of a hand with a marble. So it's called The Wonderful Wacky World of Woody Allen.
Yeah.
On a beautiful aqua blue background. It's just a hand about to flick a marble.
At the globe of the world.
At the globe of the world, right.
That's it.
Which is that a bigger marble? Is that what they're doing there, Tone?
I don't know. The globe of the world is an image that comedians still love to use to this day. In Melbourne, at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, I find if you flick through the program, you'll find at least 5 comedians just holding up a globe of the world, looking confused by it, just slightly baffled by it.
Yeah.
We're going to sort this out in 55 minutes. I don't quite understand it. It's the world.
I would argue, Tone, that that's because when comedians have to put in their application...
That's right.
It's about 6 months before their actual show.
That's right.
And they go with the most generic titles.
That's right. Greg Fleet on the loose. I don't know what it's going to be.
Who knows what's that about? third one.
Here's the third Woody Allen album, which is called...
The third Woody Allen album.
Yes.
And there's Woody Allen.
Dressed kind of as a hippie, really.
Yeah, but he's got a slingshot in his hand.
And he's firing the slingshot at... It's quite hard to work out what it is, but it's death.
Right.
He's aiming a slingshot at death, but this is the one.
You got those, you picked those 3 in New Zealand.
All at second-hand shops. And what I discovered, because I went, what did they cut out to squish it down to the 2-disc? And you know what they cut out? On the second side of the third Woody Allen album, it's just him taking questions from the audience. It's just improvising. And it's fantastic.
Rickles got a whole album out of that as well.
Did he really? Q&A?
No, just Don Rickles Speaks.
Oh, it's
just
what
him,
it is.
Yeah, that's him taking questions. Now, Tone.
Yes.
Before we get you to tee up a clip. Yeah, a clip. I'm going to go to Cameron.
Yes.
In Apollo Bay.
Cameron, are you there?
Sam, how are you?
Very well. Yeah, the great Tony Martin here too.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Right, thank you. That would be the name of my comedy album, by the way.
Of course.
I've got a bit of a segue for you because I know you love them. My whole first year of uni life was spent in the Rowden White Library, which was just a music library. You could not study in there. And they always had at least one comedy album up there. So you'd go in there and you'd be on your beanbag and you'd just go through them all over the year. Of course, I didn't do too well in my first year of uni, but...
But you listen to a lot of albums.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of New Order and Joy Division and other things like that.
And what comedy albums leap out at you?
Well, there was definitely a bit of 12th Man going around. Derek and Clive, I think, was on repeat.
Yes.
Constantly.
I've been told I can't play any Derek and Clive.
Is that right? Our producer, we're not allowed to play any Derek and Clive, are we? No.
The word lobsters cannot be mentioned.
No, I don't think it'd get through on the 774 radio. But another one I was thinking about a bit later in time was the Jerky Boys were always a bit of fun, but I don't know if they actually had vinyl.
Yeah, how's this? You know when it gets really late at night and you go, what happened to that person? I'll Wikipedia them.
Yes.
So I decided to look up the Jerky Boys because I'd forgotten. There was a Jerky Boys movie. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Who were the Jerky Boys, first of all?
They were they were very early, maybe even pre-internet prank callers, and they did a series of prank call albums, which were massively popular, and then someone thought that could be a movie, guys making prank calls, but not making real prank calls, acting doing prank calls, because the whole thing about a prank call is that it's really happening.
Yes.
But I think there was a really good actor in that, for they hired someone like Alan Arkin or someone was roped in to be in it.
They had the Egyptian magician.
That's right.
And the old sort of Tony, who was some, you know, sort of mobster, trying to sell cars and stuff like that, but
well,
I won't go into that.
There were two of them, the Jerky Boys, and if you look them up on Wikipedia, it says they had a massive falling out about, 8 years ago. But one of them has continued with the act, just calling himself the Jerky Boys.
And if not the Jerky Boy?
No, he's sticking with what works. And if you go to the website...
Brand recognition is very important, Don.
I haven't checked this, but it says that if you go to his website, it's got the whole history of the Jerky Boys with the other one completely cut out of it. So was it Akmal? Not Akmal. Who am I thinking?
What about? There's a little insight into. Don't you shouldn't give away the magic of what happens in your life.
I know.
Late in a night, you're Wikipedia.
Don't tell
the
me,
Jerky Boys.
Don't tell me you haven't got up and just gone at 4 in the morning and go, I need to Wikipedia Keith Potka right now and see what he's doing.
I did Harper Lee today, but that's about as close I got. Let's thank you very much, Cameron. Let's go to Rod. Hello, Rod. Are you there?
Rod of Cheltenham.
Hello, Rod in Cheltenham. How are you?
Oh, good. Oh, look, I have got Bridge Over the River Wye, which was a takeoff of Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Oh, is that? Is Peter Sellers involved in that?
Yes. It was get Sergeant Thingo to cut down that tree. He's a lumberjack. Got a broken arm, sir. Can't chop down trees with a broken arm, sir. And then there was Brunswick Heads Revisited, which was a takeoff on Bride's Head Revisited, and that featured a pineapple decurie. You don't remember that, do you? Okay.
No, that's fine. It sounds. Do you think it would have? Do you think the comedy would still stand up, Rod, or it might have dated
a
bit?
Well, especially as they're still rerunning Bride's Head Revisited.
Well, that's a good point.
Finally, I've got, believe it or not, a plastic 78. If you dropped it, you'd break it. At Casey at the Dentist. I've left you totally dumbfounded.
You have. We are. Right. That is the sound of dumbfoundedness.
Like
Casey at the Dentist.
So
who's involved?
Like I'm in the quiz.
Look, really, I don't know. I doubt whether I could find out even if I listen to it again. But maybe one day I'll put it down and send it to the ABC and I can put it in their archives.
Do that, Rod.
Thank you very much, Rod.
That's great. Speaking of archives, the best ever collection of comedy albums I ever saw was Glenn A. Baker took me to his secret warehouse. It's like going to the Batcave. You know, you have to take,
right,
you know, knockout gas.
Were you blindfolded and changed cars three times?
Nobody's allowed to know where he stores all his vinyl. And it's like the final scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, just acres. And he's shown me a whole wall of albums, and I've gone, what's that? And he's gone, that's the comedy albums. I'm going, well, which bit of it? And he goes, no, no, all of it. Right. And he had probably every vinyl comedy album ever. You know, albums by Nichols and May that you'd never heard of. It was just an amazing
collection.
Well,
this is a good point. You're talking about Mike Nichols and May is Mike Nichols. See, I only found that recently. I only know Mike Nichols as the director.
As the great director of The Graduate and what was his last one? That one, Charlie Wilson's War?
Yep.
And Elaine May was a director as well.
So I found out about this comedy background through through some Wikipedia. Hey, can you tee up what we're about to listen to?
Yes.
And then we'll come back with some more calls.
Here's what happened. I went through all my CD comedy albums and I couldn't find pretty much one without foul language.
Yeah.
But then I found Flight of the Conchords.
Right. So this is your example of a modern day comedy album.
This is a modern, because Flight of the Conchords, I think, have rescued the comedy song from the dustbin of naffness. And I'm sure a lot of people would have seen Flight of the Conchords on SBS. I think Series 2 was shown on SBS. This is the album I Told You I Was Freaky from the second series. And this song is where Jermaine from the Conchords, his ex-girlfriends arranged themselves into a choir to list his shortcomings. The song is called Carol Brown.
Loretta broke my heart in a letter. She told me she was leaving and her life would be better. Joan broke it off over the phone. After the tone, she left me alone. Jen said she'd never ever see me again. When I saw her again, she said it again. Jen met another man. Lisa got amnesia, just forgot who I am. Felicity said there was no electricity. Emily, no chemistry. Fran ran, Bruce turned out to be a man. Flo had to go, I couldn't go with the flow. Carol Brown just took a bus out of town, but I'm hoping that you'll stick around.
He doesn't cook or clean, he's not good boyfriend material.
Ooh, we can eat cereal.
You'll lose interest fast, his relationships never last.
Shut up, girlfriends from the past. Girlfriends into a choir and got them to sing. Shut up. Shut up, girlfriends from the past. Mamie will no longer see me. Brittany hit me. Paula, Persephone, Stella, and Stephanie. There must be 50 ways that lovers have left me. Carol Brown just took a bus out of town. Love is a delicate thing. It could just float away on the breeze.
He says the same thing to me.
How can we ever know we found the right person in this world?
He means he looks at other girls.
Love is a mystery. It does not follow a rule. Mona, you told me you were in a coma. Tiffany, you said that you had an epiphany. Would you like a little cereal? Who organized this choir of his girlfriends? Was it you, Carol Brown? Was it you, Carol Brown? Carol Brown just took a bus. But I'm hoping that you'll stick around. Stick around.
The Queen Queensland Premier's flood relief appeal has been set up so that you can help your fellow Australians. There are plenty of ways you can assist those in flood-affected areas of Queensland.
Log online to abc.net.au/emergency.
And click on How Can I Help? There's a secure online payment form.
ABC Local Radio, supporting your community.
Summer with Sam Payne.
Yes, and before that, welcome back. You are here with Sam Pang and also Tony Martin through up until the news. Tony, before that, what we're listening to Flight of the Conchords.
Yes, that's from their second album, I Told You I Was Freaky. Yes. I hope that didn't just baffle your listeners, because obviously if you haven't ever seen Flight of the Conchords, that might be confusing.
Once again, though, not in the traditional form of the comedy album that I picture of the family around the wireless. It's musical comedy.
No.
As opposed to straight stand up.
No.
And the album takes you there to the little club.
That's right, but I have brought in an example of a traditional comedy. I've got a whole bag full of vinyl here. I'm just going to this is one of my favorite album covers. I'm just going to hold it up to you, Sam. This is an album from it doesn't have a date on it, but I think it's from 1969. Just describe what you can see on the front cover.
It is the back of a man. It's a red background, and it's just a man standing there with his back to me.
And is there any, there's no words apart from the EMI Parlophone logo?
No, there's no words. Now, if I had, do you want me to guess?
Guess.
I'd say Spike Milligan.
I'll flip it round. It's
Barry Humphries.
Barry Humphries. It's an album simply called Barry Humphries. But what a bold idea for a cover. There's no words. It doesn't even say. Like, you could have at least had the name of the album, but I guess the name of the album is his name, so...
You don't know that it's a comedy.
No.
Yeah, well, maybe you just had the one shot in him.
That would have been a pretty
innovative... Have you listened to that, time?
I have. It's a really good album. It's got Sandy Stone's Days of the Week, which older listeners would be familiar with.
Speaking of listeners, Tone, let's go to some listeners. Let's go to Kev in Coffs Harbour. Hello, Kev.
Hello, how are you?
Kev, that's what you get when I'm in charge of the phones tonight. So anyway, thanks for ringing up. What have you...
I thought it was a big joke you were having on me then, yeah.
No, I'm
have you got an album in front of you, Kev?
No, I don't. But I grew up listening to possibly some of the most classic American sit-round-the-radio type comedy that is around, from a man called Stan Freberg.
Ah, Stan Freberg. He was an ad man, wasn't he, who did albums?
Yes, and he spoke in that ad man type of voice. But he had some wonderful songs as well. Not that I can remember any of them. I'm too thick for that. That was too long ago, but I do recommend to everybody to, at least before they die, listen to some Stan Freberg.
So when you say he was an ad man, Tone, what he did ads, was he a comedian?
He was like Don Draper from Mad Men, I think, but he was also a comedian. I have to say, I don't know a lot about Stan Freberg, but I do remember when I was a kid, if you went to someone's house and they had a Stan Freberg album, you would flip it over and there would always be a Spike Jones album behind it. Everyone, they always seem to go together.
Thank you, Kev.
He was big on the Industrial Revolution age and the office comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
And, very modern comedy for its time.
I'm writing all these down, Kev. And that's,
oh, yeah, definitely don't miss out on Stan Freberg.
Stan Freberg. Thank you very much, Kev.
See ya.
That's Kev from Coffs Harbour now. We're going to Paul from Morty Alec. Paul, you there?
Yes, I am.
Paul, what comedy album have you got?
I am staring at my vinyl copy of Grey and Spicy Boom Boom by Ugly Dave Gray.
Grey and Spicy Boom Boom. I think that was the sequel or the prequel to Ugly Dave Gray's sing-along. That was his other album.
He also sings in this one.
Really? What does he sing? What's the song?
I can probably give you the titles. Nobody Does It Like Me, Pennies From Heaven, The Old Bazaar in Cairo.
It's one of those albums where you look at the front cover and you go, wouldn't Grey and Spicy have been a good enough name? Or indeed, wouldn't Boom Boom have been a good enough name? He's gone, bugger it, of both of them.
Well, you know, if you can't decide, just put them both in. I would give anything to hear Ugly Dave Gray singing Pennies From Heaven. How good would that be?
I don't think I've listened to it for 15 years, but it's great to pull out at parties and just to scare people that I'm actually going to play it.
Paul, I don't know what tone things, but I think that many modern-day comedians who have incorporated music into their act,
yeah,
I owe a debt of gratitude to just small bits like Ugly Dave Gray singing Pennies from Heaven, because the combination of music and comedy is very big at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Tim Minchin.
I actually interviewed Ugly Dave Gray on the radio in the mid-90s, and he was a very funny man in person. I remember him when he put the cigar down.
He had a cigar.
And stopped with the one-liners and just spoke as himself.
Yeah.
He had us rolling about on the floor as he attempted to describe the difference between personality squares and celebrity squares. And he was pushing a book at the time, which he'd printed himself. It was like a self-published Ugly Dave Gray's joke book, and it had a sealed section at the back, like a genuine sealed section, full of more, you know, blue material.
Bit blue.
For when, you know, when the kids are in bed. He had the blue gear. We were like going to open the sealed section on air. He's going, no, not this. It's too early.
I see. I'm not sure I want to hear. I don't want to speak to Ugly Dave Gray unless he's doing jokes. I would like to be in person with him just doing jokes at me.
He was a very funny bloke.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
He is. I'm acting like he's dead. That's terrible.
He's not. He's not.
I saw it. Wasn't he in that film Getting Square? Remember with David Wenham?
Was he?
Yeah, he was like the bank manager or something, doing like your proper acting. I think he was. He got the shotgun to the back of the head, I remember.
How was he as a thespian?
Oh, it wasn't enough. It was more ugly. We wanted more ugly by the end of it.
Let's go to Jamie. Are you there, Jamie?
G'day, Sam. G'day, Tony. How are you?
Good. What have you got for us?
Mate, look. Oh, first thing, if you Google free cat.
Yeah.
That's a pretty funny thing, if you can do that right now.
Right, yeah, just
free cat.
Yep.
I'm a connoisseur of your cat clips on the internet.
Yeah, you love them, don't
you? I'll be keen to see that.
Rightio, we'll keep that one fresh for the weekend, perhaps, Jamie. But what have you got in terms of comedy albums?
Sort of like you, Sam. I started with sitting around with the family listening to Bill Cosby going, oh, yeah, Fat Albert and all the rest of it. That was all good and funny.
Yeah.
And of course, comedy albums came out with the uncles and stuff, and they'd be in their cars, and we'd get them, and we'd go, Cheech and Chong, hey, man. Cheech and Chong, hey. Open the door, man. Who's there? It's me. It's me, Dave. Open the door. He's not here, man.
Jamie, how old were you when you listened to your first Cheech and Chong album?
I reckon probably 12 or 13.
Now, that routine you were doing, It's Me, Dave, that is the classic Cheech and Chong album routine, but I've never been sure which album it's from. Which one is it?
I'm pretty sure it was Up in Smoke.
Really? From the movie? Really?
No, well, there was an album called Up in Smoke. It was like a combi van with a big joint on the top.
Yeah, but wouldn't Up in Smoke be just the soundtrack of the movie? Wouldn't it?
No.
You reckon it might be on there?
What are you asking? What came first?
I'm pretty sure that, because Up in Smoke was 77, and I remember hearing that Dave routine. I actually saw someone I was in an English class with started doing it, and my teacher, Mr. Gallagher, looked up, and we all thought he was going to tell this kid off, and then he joined in and started doing the other part. And that would have been about 75. No, actually, maybe you're right. No, it would have been 77.
Mr. Gallagher,
later an MP in New Zealand.
You probably credit him as being a major comedy influence. For a teacher to do that, that's breakthrough.
You're right. Okay, maybe it is off Up in Smoke.
I think the album was, Up in Smoke. And was it a fallacy that, I don't know, but Cheech and Chong brought out an album and it was, which one's Tommy Chong?
Yeah.
He's at the beginning going, and he goes, have you ever had the feeling that you've been ripped off? And that was on side one. And you turned, and there was nothing. Then you turn out to side six. And then it goes, have you ever had the feeling that you've been ripped off?
Yeah.
And there was nothing.
And there was nothing again.
That was the record.
Now, is that a real album, or is that one that you...
Oh, I don't know. I'm wondering if that was...
Sounds urban myth, that's...
I've never bought it.
No.
And I'd never seen it, but I think it was called the Ripped Off Album.
Yeah, that's right.
I think somebody
it
was
sounds
ripped.
About right.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you what, how lucky that I've been in my life is that I, went to pubs and clubs, and Ostentatious came out, and Kevin Wilson, and with a bloody in the middle.
Yeah.
And Rodney Rood. And I got to see them all live.
Yeah, wow.
And, you know, it was only a couple of years ago we went to the local RSL and my wife won the Lucky Door Prize at the Kevin Bloody Wilson concert, and I got all these CDs, I've got posters, I've got everything, all signed by Kevin.
Kevin Bloody Wilson. When you come here from New Zealand, as I did, it's quite a wake-up when you're confronted with, because when I came here in 85,
yeah,
Kevin Bloody Wilson had the biggest selling album of the year. Like, Thriller was at number two, and number one
was Wilson.
Was Kevin Bloody Wilson with an album called Kev's Back. And I'd never heard of him. And I'm going, hang on, so this is the biggest selling album in Australia. Let's have a look at it. And the cover is just Kevin Bloody Wilson taking a leak against a wall. That's the cover.
See, well, but yeah, you say that. But I'm sure there are many layers of nuance that went into the definition of that album. Can I just say that if you're wondering what Cheech Marin is up to lately.
Yeah.
Well, he was superb in Tin Cup.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Kevin Costner.
He gets a bit of work in your Robert Rodriguez movies.
He does, but if you want a very solid performance.
Not Nash Bridges.
Nash Bridges, alongside Don Johnson. I thought he was magnificent. But Jamie mentioned Bill Cosby. I told you my two Bill Cosby albums, My Father Confused Me, What Must I Do, What Must I Do, and Bill Cosby, this one is called Bill's Best Friend.
Wow.
And he just talks about his brother Roland all the time.
Right.
That's my problem with that one.
Bill Cosby, Richard Pryor albums were big.
Yes.
I probably couldn't say the names of any of them.
No.
I'm
looking at Al, he's saying no, don't say that.
No, I won't. George Carlin, big albums. Class Clown was a huge album when I was a kid. And then A Place for My Stuff. That was a classic album.
George Carlin, of course, was famous for the seven words that you can't say on
television.
Television. Yep. And he got arrested once at a gig because he did that part of his act,
right?
And got arrested. And as he was being arrested for obscenity or vulgar language, he actually had some illicit materials in his pocket that went unnoticed. But he was being arrested
for swearing.
Yeah, he was arrested for swearing. If they'd probably patted him down, he probably could have got life. Now, Tone, do you want to get another caller?
Who have we got?
Let's go.
This is a gold mine.
It is. Let's go to David in Desert Park. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Ah, hello, David. What comedy album would you like to talk about?
Well, my mum started me off with Victor Borger, and then my uncle handed me Alan Sherman.
Oh, yes.
Right. So now, before we get to Sherman, can you, in your words, David, can you tell me about Victor Borger?
Genius. Absolute genius, both as a musician and as a comedian. I've seen his stuff be ripped off on Hey Hey It's Saturday and so many other things, and I think, hey, Victor Borger did that.
Yeah,
50 years ago.
Did he play piano, Tom?
He did play the piano. What was that syncopated, what's his most famous piece?
The skit where he's saying that instead of using, he used things for exclamation marks. Like,
yeah. That's right, yeah. Musical punctuation. I'm probably getting this wrong, but it's something along those lines.
Yeah, phonetic punctuation.
Phonetic punctuation, yeah, right.
And so he gets the audience to know what inverted commas, exclamation marks, questions, commas, full stops are, and then he reads a passage doing a lot of it, and it's brilliant.
That's great. And then you mentioned Alan Sherman. That was Hello Mudder. Hello
Fighter.
That's right.
I've heard that, and that's Alan Sherman, is it?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic says he was my idol as a kid growing up, and Weird Al's had a huge career over 30 years doing Michael Jackson and Nirvana and others, just doing exactly what Alan Sherman
did. You've got a Weird Al story, haven't you? Did you have to interview him ever?
I did interview Weird Al Yankovic. He's very clean living. He's very... He looks about 20 years old, and I think he's close to 50. Yeah.
Thank you, David. That was David from Desert Park. Cosby, Alan Sherman.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's before my time.
Let's go to Ron in Newtown. Ron, are you there?
Yeah, yeah.
What comedy album do you want to talk about?
Oh, there's a lot of them. There's Shelley Berman.
Yes, Shelley Berman.
He plays,
plays Larry David's dad in Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think he's about 110 years old, isn't he?
Yeah, probably. He used to just do a stand-up one-man thing, and one of them was about the the man looking out his window and seeing a woman hanging from the third floor of the building opposite, and he's trying to get onto the shop, the department store, to tell them that this woman is hanging out the window, and they keep putting him onto different departments. And it's just, you know, one of the questions he's asked, no, I don't know whether she's carrying parcels with your store label on them, etc. And then there's Bob Newhart with A Button Down Mind.
Yeah, Button Down Mind. That was the classic Newhart album, wasn't it?
I think that was his first, and The Button Down Mind Strikes Back.
Right, is that album the one where he does, because the Bob Newhart that I've heard is when he plays a kind of a security guard, and it's his first day on the job, and he's guarding the Empire State Building
King Kong
is on the building, and he rings his boss.
there's another one where he's, I think he's a driving instructor. And turn left. No, not here. Wait till we get to the corner, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's but very, very funny stuff. Then I've got one here sitting beside me, a 10-inch LP of Peter Sellers, The Best of Sellers.
Oh, yes, Best of Sellers. Is that where he's polishing a limousine on the cover?
He's polishing up the flying lady on the front of a Rolls Royce.
Have you got? I think the best Peter Sellers is Songs for Swingin' Sellers.
I've heard it. I haven't got it.
The cover is just a tree and someone's hung themselves and a gramophone. Quite a grim cover for a comedy album.
Well, this has got Trumpet Volunteer, Auntie Rotter.
Yeah, right.
All the things you are. Balham, Gateway to the South.
Correct. There's a really great, fancy, expensive box set now of all the Peter Sellers albums and all of the unreleased tracks. And there's a great book, The Full Gear, if you're into Sellers.
Well, the other one I was thinking was Nolene Brown and Barry Creighton, the front side and the back side of Nolene Brown and Barry Creighton.
All right.
A very funny album where the two of them just do very like Mike Nichols and Elaine May type of thing, and she's talking about various things, and he's being terribly butch, and then at the end he wants a shampoo and set, it's really, really funny stuff.
Well, I guess
Alan Sherman's My Son the Folk Singer and My Son the Nut, where he does his 12 Days of Christmas is one of the best I've heard.
Wow. The thing about, see, we've mentioned with Nolene Brown and Barry Creighton, your classic Australian comedy albums. What would be on that list?
It was sort of Naked Vicar type of stuff.
Naked Vicar.
And Mavis Bramston.
The Samuel Pepys Show, that was them, I think, wasn't it?
What's that?
The Samuel Pepys Show, was that something?
Yep. And it was round about the time of those shows on television. At probably still when we had black and white television, they came out. And the front cover is just the two of them standing there. And then the backside of the cover was the back of them with his hand fair on her rump. And it just had the backside of Nolene Brown and Barry Creighton.
Wow. Sounds a little bit saucy, Ron. We might have to leave it there. But thank you very much thanks for calling. Tone, we're going to have to whip through these callers because one is you brought in an Albert Brooks piece that
it's
won't
too,
work.
No, let's
it's
not
too
play
long
it.
And it won't
it's
work.
The callers. I said I was from Tasmania for a moment there. A much better value.
Yes, let's go to Rick in Flinders Island. Hello, Rick.
G'day, how are you?
Well, we're going great in here.
It sounds like it, yeah. Plenty of albums.
Yes.
A three-album trilogy. I don't know if it was a comedy or it was musical and comedy, but the Frank Zappa Joe's Garage collection.
I guess that's comedy album. I guess, yeah. No, we're probably offending the Zappa fans. But he did do some pretty funny songs. The Tinseltown Rebellion Band song. That's a pretty funny song.
The whole trilogy of the band and the garage band, and then they went on the road and it was quite a funny, and it was commentary through it too. So,
one to look out for. Thank you, Rick. Yeah. Tone, I'll just hold that up and just ask if you consider that a comedy album.
I think that is one of the funniest albums ever recorded. That is Burt Reynolds reading his own autobiography, My Life. And if you're a fan of Sam's, you would have, and his old show on community radio.
It's not supposed to be a comedy album, but I tell you, there's plenty of laughs.
It's
Harry.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, Harry, you're on the road.
Oh, yeah, we're on the road.
Where are you driving to?
We're driving home from the coast.
from, Sydney, North Shore, Sydney, and we just left Goulburn.
And you want to talk comedy albums?
Tom Lehrer, The Year That Was, 1965.
Now, is that when Tom Lehrer was on the American version of That Was...
Yep.
The Year That Was. And is that the album where he does the Vatican Rag?
Yeah, the Vatican Rag.
I think that's maybe my favourite of his songs. And it wasn't on one of his famous albums. It was from that TV show. Correct.
Thank you. Wow.
I had no idea.
These are just ones I'm writing down. Thank you, Harry. Let's go to Anne in Victor Harbour. Are you there, Anne?
I'm here.
Hello, Anne. I've got a record
in front of me. It's an old 78... record, Life Gets Tedious, Don't It, by Carson Robinson, goes back about 60 years.
Wow, now I don't recognise any of that.
The flip side is more and more tedious, ain't it?
Carson Robinson,
R-O-B-I-S-O-N.
And what, is he Australian? Is he English?
No, he's a Yank.
Right.
With the Pheasant Valley, Pleasant Valley Boys.
And that's a 78. You're saying
it's an old 78.
And have you still got the equipment to play it on?
Yes. My children gave it to me for my a stereophonic high performance radiogram.
Wow.
That's not for my birthday 6 years ago.
Wow.
I could play all my 78s.
It's the iRadiogram. The new one.
There's not actually a hamster in there just running around on a wheel, is there, to operate that end? No.
But it will actually play 12 RPM.
Tone?
Right, 12.
What does that mean?
Hang on, doesn't it?
12 or 16, I just forget now. But 75, 33, 78.
And 12.
Yeah, I think it's 12. It's either 12 or 16.
12
It was
12
the
slower?
Old broadcast.
Yeah. 12, 12, it takes 3 days to listen to the album, doesn't it, Anne? Is that the problem?
It takes a long time to get through an album at 12 RPM.
But congratulations, though, by bringing up Carson Robinson, you've stumped...
Robinson, sorry.
You've stumped the great Tony Martin when it comes to comedy
albums. Well, it goes back a good 60 years.
Ah, it's no excuse. Tony should have known it, really.
I only go back 55 in my brain.
Thank you, Anne.
Thanks, Ed.
This might have to be the last call of time before
right.
we...
Let's hope it's a good one.
Yes. Let's go to Tom in Elwood. Tom?
Hello there.
Hello, Tom. I think who you're going to talk about, you can just guarantee me you won't be doing much of
that. I won't do the impressions. I'm not up to that.
Who are you talking about?
Peter Cook and Dudley Moore.
Ah, yes. Now, are you talking about... Because I brought in my... I have the... It took me years to get all of them. But I got all four of the original Peter Cook and Dudley Moore albums. I'm not talking about the Derek and Clive ones.
Oh.
I'm talking about
the Fringe.
The original. No, in between those two. The one each from the four series they did. There's not only Peter Cook, but also Dudley Moore.
Not only, but also, yeah.
Then there's Once More with Cook. That's from Not Only, But Also Series 2.
Yeah.
Then there's Goodbye Again, which has the most bizarre cover I think I've ever seen of any album. Which is just two people lying dead in the street, one of them falling out of a wheelchair. And then Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, which is from the third series of Not Only But Also, all of them completely G-rated. But as soon as you mention to someone that you've got a Peter Cook and Dudley Moore album, they immediately think you're talking about Derek and Clive, of course.
It's a pretty reasonable assumption, isn't it?
It is. And younger people, I guess, would only know them for the Derek and Clive albums. Is that what you've got there?
Yeah, I've had them over the years. They were always on tapes and things, you know. I mean, it was pretty rare to find someone who had the original vinyl because it was probably one of the most pirated things ever going around, you know, back in the early 70s.
Well, the first one, I think, is it called Derek and Clive Live? That was just made as a joke. It wasn't meant to be released. And I think was it not the Rolling Stones who...
I think they financed the release of it.
Yeah, because they had a copy of it on their plane and they would play it on their plane all the time.
Tom, thank you so much. We're coming up to the news, but that's another thing. Hearing it in schools, you know, bootlegging of comedy albums, that's where my first introduction. Tony Martin,
We've barely scratched the surface.
I know.
Thanks for having me in, Sam.
Well, yeah, if you're in town again next week, we'll just there seems to be a rich soil.
Sure is.
Carson Robinson?
I know. We didn't get to Steve Martin, but Carson Robinson has Robinson. Been fully canvassed.
Yeah, and no Rickles and no Rodney Dangerfield, but...
Nobody mentioned Rodney Rude Goes the Growl, the ARIA-nominated Rude opus.
It's been a great privilege to have... you won an ARIA for a comedy album. People should remember that too in 15 seconds time.
Four of them actually, but don't want to boast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll have to do this again sometime. But Tony Martin has been with me talking comedy albums. Coming up after the news, some live music. But until then, enjoy the news.
Cheers.